If you look at your outline, don't faint. Because there's a ton of stuff on here, and I have no intention of doing anything but bringing it to your attention. So, but I've been thinking last few weeks again, just about, if you just read the Bible, read it, teach it, preach it, whatever, you keep bumping into the times and places where Jesus healed people. All over the places. And so what I put on your outline was, I just felt like the Lord said, why don't you get the 50,000 foot view on this and present the scope of how Jesus healed people. And in other words, it was in countrysides and oceansides and villages and cities and little townships all over. And not the same place, not, you know, all over. And if he wasn't going other places, other people had heard about him and from other places, and they were coming to him. So either he was getting to people and healing them, or they were getting to him and you're being made well. So this will bring you great relief. That first large print here where it says Jesus healed them all, there are 17 times in the New Testament, 17, where he healed crowds, masses, unnumbered groups of people, more than two, just over and over and over, large gatherings, large groups of people, 17 times. And when he did that, every time he did that, he healed everybody in the 17 groups. It's cool, isn't it? The next list that's on your outline, if you're looking at it, is there are 47 more times where he healed either one person or two, because those were the people present for the opportunity to get healed. So you got 17 times where it was the masses. Not necessarily beyond counting, but they weren't counted. They were just saying, oh, they were all there. Well, in one place, we knew he fed 5,000 people, plus the women and the children. So, and that was a group. So there were some groups of pretty amazing size. And then 47 times, he met with individuals or couples, more than one person, but not more than three, and they all got healed. So what I'm thinking out of that brief overview, healing wasn't all he did. But when he did it, that's what he was doing. And he always did it, and people always got well. So I looked that word up, always. And it happened 17 times when it was for groups and 47 times when it was for individuals. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So if some of you look and say, well, Jesus healed people, what does that mean? It means there was an incredible need for people to be made well. Now, this is before, you know, ibuprofen or aspirin or any, I mean, what the common medication was, pouring oil on something and rubbing it in. So I don't know how medicinal olive oil is, or maybe a little aloe vera or something, but they didn't have medication either. So people had they were desperate. And they knew it. And when they heard that he had healing power, either he got to them or they got to him. And we just have a lot of alternatives. How's that? And we want to make sure that high on the list is the fact that he's a healer, because he doesn't change. He can't change. He's unchangeable. And because that's true, then if he always had healing in his heart for people then, and he's no respecter of persons, and he can't change, then he always has healing in his heart for people now. Okay? So I plucked a few out of here, because there's lots of different ways that he healed people. So I'm going to give you three or four or five, however many we're going to do that, and then we're going to pray. But I put this little paragraph in there. Nowhere do we find Jesus refusing to heal anyone. In light of Jesus' statement that he could do nothing of himself, but only what he saw the Father do, his actions are proof that it's always God's heart to heal. And I don't know if you've ever put those two things together, but if it says that, he said, I always only do those things that please the Father. I always only do the things that I see the Father doing and hear the Father saying. And so for that group of 17 big groups and 47 small groups, it was the heart of the Father to see those people get healed because Jesus didn't do things that weren't.
That's right.
So you can say, you think God's will to heal? Yeah, I do. Now, in my early days, why do I say that? But earlier in my Christian experience, how's that? That way you don't know how old I am. But earlier in my Christian experience, I was taught to pray. If Tommy came to me with a headache, sorry, honey, but you're front. And I would say, oh, okay, Lord, if it be your will, would you please take care of this headache? Well, then it was a coin flip. And you had an out. Must not have been his will. You still got the headache. Isn't that the conclusion you would have to come to? If you're saying, if you're using that? No. He is a healer by his name, by his word, by his nature. He's a healer. And so I'm stupid if I think he's not going to heal you. Because I'm counting on him being who he says he is, what the word says he is, what his name says, what his character and nature is. Well, that's different. Now, it was, I'm not being ugly or anything about that, but I figured that out. That this is not a war of wills. I mean, in one place, one of the persons says, if you want to, you can heal me. And Jesus goes, done. It wasn't a question of whether he could or would. Boom, done. And so I don't know where you are in your theology about the Bible or about healing and that kind of thing. I'm just telling you, the will of God is on your side. Is that okay? Well, have you ever prayed for somebody that didn't get healed? Yeah? What'd you do then? We prayed again. Right? I have to tell you my story. I had a guy come in to my office, and I've told you this story before, but it fits, so I get to tell it again. I'd never met the man. And he made an appointment with me, and he came in, and he said, well, I'm in the right place. And I thought, well, good. I hope I am. And he said, I want you to know because of you, I canceled my operation that was supposed to be tomorrow. Stage 4 cancer. And he said, because I came here to get healed today. And I'm going, have we met? You know? And I thought, this is misplaced faith. So, and I was trying to make it easy on him, and again, I didn't know the man. And I said, man, you really are in the right place. I am batting 1,000. He said, really? I said, yeah, I have never, ever healed anybody, and I never, ever will. He just looked at me, and I said, but I know the guy who does. And then we prayed, and he didn't have the operation. He still lived like another 9 or 10 months. I don't know. He was extended at least. And I thought, but God's the healer. Period. Now, he wants us to trust him and to be used, you know, as vessels. And so, well, why didn't he just heal people? Because he's created this partnership called salvation. And he wants us to cooperate with him. He wants to do good works through us that he laid out before the foundation of the world. He said, I've got these things picked out. I want you to walk in them. And some of them might just be you praying for somebody and they get healed. Now, the other thing that I had to change my attitude about, it wasn't a bad thing. It just was, you know, when I was a child, I thought like a child. Well, I wasn't a child anymore, so I had to change my thinking. But Jesus never, ever tells anybody to go pray for somebody to get healed. He just says, go heal them. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And I didn't know that back in those days. And I thought, well, it's like he doesn't like praying? That's not the deal. what he did to bring about the healing happened in Isaiah 53. He has already finished. Jesus says, it's over, it's finished. He paid for sin, he prayed for sickness. That was accomplished. And he placed the Spirit of God that raised him from the dead and empowered those things to happen in us so that we could be partakers. And are we doing okay? So when we say we're going to pray for the sick, we're going to, but what we're going to do is speak to the organ or the body part that is not well and command it to line up with the way God created, or we're either going to go after the disease itself and fight that, or we're going to speak to the body part that's ill and say, you shouldn't be this way. He didn't create you this way. It's out of line. Let's get you lined up. And of course, the enemy comes to do all that stuff. Steal, kill, right? So learning those things, having those things come to you, it makes the Bible look different because you're not... we're in love with the one who does the healing. We're not here to beg. Now, would we beg if that's what it took? Darn straight. But that's not what he's like. That's not his heart. And Jesus only did what he heard the Father saying and what he saw the Father doing, and our game is to be the same. And so, talking about this yesterday, see if I can do this quickly. Lots of times, I'm sorry, I'm here sitting on the front row. I would come over, well, can you pray for me? My knee hurts, okay? I'd say, yeah, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put my hand on you if that's okay. And we're going to pray the presence of God down on you. And I guarantee you, you're going to be touched by the Spirit of God. I don't know that I can guarantee you're going to be healed because that's what we're going after. But you're going to be touched and you're going to walk out of here knowing that the God who holds the whole universe together by his word of power has touched you today. How bad is that? Not bad. And so if they walked away well, yes! And if they didn't, they walked away closer to God and God closer to them. How can we lose doing that? But I try to have, in what's left of this little pea brain of mine, I try to have a disposition of heart that says, well, I think that's what you want us to do, is bring healing to this life. So, Lord, let's do it. And I honestly do everything I know how to line myself up that person's... We did everything needed to do for that person to get well. And I want to believe that that's what's going to happen. I'm going to be honest, that doesn't always happen all the time. But you know what? It does some. And if it ever does, it always can. And I checked out. I'm not perfect. There's no shock in that to you, I understand. But so that means I always say the right thing exactly or quote the right verse, all that kind of stuff. I don't really know that that's necessary. What's necessary is that we believe in who he is and what he says, and we're going to say what he says and do what he says he can do. Praying this in the prayer room yesterday, say it pretty often, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, some people are giving Paul a hard time about whether he's really an apostle, like whether he's really carrying the goods or not. And he said, you know, we'll come and check those guys out. See what they have to say, because the kingdom of God does not exist in just words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And I don't think they gave him a lot of trouble after that. But because when he spoke, there was wind on the words. There was a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And wow, people get well. If they don't get well, they're really getting touched in a way. Because, see, I can have somebody come up and tell me something, and that's why they want to get prayed for. Well, I'll pray for that. But while I'm praying for that, the Lord say, that's not really it at all. Here's the deal. This relationship's all jacked up. And so I say, could I pray something else for you? And then we pray, and then we get into the real thing, and that gets touched, and it gets healed, and the knee goes away. That happens. Sometimes we're not even aware. And the Lord is so good and so kind, he'll prompt us to respond to something that we can respond to in order to get into the thing that really is the number one issue. That's the front burner issue. Kathy and I were talking the other day about an old phrase that we haven't used for a long time. But sometimes the Lord will offend your mind to reveal your heart. Yeah. That's kind of just what I said. But that happens. And he works with us in a way so that the will of God does come and does happen. But he kind of knows us pretty good. Sometimes he'll show you that he knows us better than we know us. And well, anyway, when Jesus prayed for people, blessed people, spoke to people, commanded all those things, all the ways that he did it, he was doing things that he had been checked in by the Spirit of God, and he knew that's what he was supposed to be saying and doing. And he didn't do more, he didn't do less. He's at the Pool of Bethesda. Yeah. The story has it, if somebody gets tossed into the water, angel comes and stirs the water, first one in gets healed. And he asks this guy, "You want to get healed?" "I can't. Nobody will put me in the water." He says, "Well, get up." Get up. And boom, he's well. And all these other crowds of people gathered there to try to get into the water are thinking, "Are we in the right place? This guy healed this cat. Look out. I mean, this is going to be a good day." And Jesus leaves. He healed one person. Bad public relations. I mean, he just went off the cover of Time magazine. I mean, the 12 have got to be thinking, "What are we going to do? Now we don't care. We don't like people. They already came from 50 miles and you didn't pray," you know, all this kind of stuff. No. He was a man submitted to the Father. And what the Father was saying and showing him, "Well, do this." Okay. After, you can check this out, every other time he'd prayed up to that point in the Bible, everybody got healed. Everybody. And so, what's the normal thing to think? Well, Wednesday it was everybody, and last Friday it was everybody. He picked one. What's with that? To me, I look at that and say, that is the most extremely amazing evidence of humility that I've ever seen. Because not only did he know he could do it, most of the people around knew that he could do it, and he already had evidence of it being done. But he said, "Nope, close shop." Why? Inquiring minds want to know. He didn't say. It's never explained. It's never explained. But it was exhibited. He really did what he really said. "No, I just do what I see the Father saying." Isn't that cool? And I look at that and I'm thinking, okay, so I'm not going to bark at you about not doing something else that I was wanting you to do if that's not what the Father was empowering you to do in the moment. Don't know. But I look at that and I think, I got a long ways to go. So when you look at those things, you can see how incredibly powerful, authoritative, and wise Jesus was. But I want to include this one from Luke 4. We'll look at it real quick. Just because it's a little different than some of the other. This involves spiritual healing as well, deliverance. He came to Capernaum, city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were amazed at his teaching. See, that's what should happen to you guys, so shape up. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. I don't think there's any other kind. I always thought that was interesting that it said that, a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Well, the disciples didn't know that yet. Right? Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." But when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, he came out of him without doing him any harm. Still threw him down. I've heard people say, "Well, they got to go down on the floor and flop, or nothing happened." And I've also said, if you really had authority, they wouldn't lay down on the floor and flop. Well, then Jesus didn't have any authority. You, come on. But amazement came upon them all. See, that should happen to us too. And they began talking with one another, saying, what is this message? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. So this is like now a multiple county thing. So people are finding this out all over the place. I mean, it's like all over the place. Then he got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. Standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she immediately got up and fixed lunch, waited on them. While the sun was setting, this is pretty interesting, while the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, you are the Son of God. But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. When day came, Jesus left, went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to get him to, don't leave us, don't go away. But he said, listen, I got to preach the kingdom other cities too. So I'm just, this, all these other towns came to him. He prayed for him. It was how dark, who knows. Gets up early in the morning, more people, more towns coming to him. And he said, no, I got to go someplace else. That's when you get the scope of this. This was not something that happened just one time in one place. He says, I have to preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. You, if you're going to use Jesus now, I'm being a little bit preacheristic on you, but don't tell me you're preaching the gospel if you leave out the power to heal. Because he said, I've been preaching the gospel. That's how they're getting healed. Part of the gospel is the fact that he heals people. Do you see that? He equates that. That's just not just me selling something. That's him equating the full gospel with healing. Now, healing isn't the gospel, but it's an important part of the gospel. And if you leave healing out of the gospel, you're not preaching the whole thing. If you only preach healing, you're leaving out a whole lot of other things too, and you have the wrong kind of myopia. But he said, in my declaration of the kingdom, which is the government of God, lordship of Jesus, power, authority, healing has to be there because it's spirit, soul, and body that he's talking about. And they all need to be healed. So you get Peter's mother-in-law cured. Bunches of people show up from different places. And now he's off to different places. Verse 12 here, while he was in one of the cities, didn't see which one, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, breaking the law. It was against the law, the Hebrew law, to touch a leprous person. That made you unclean. Now this one, the good news is, he got instantly healed and Jesus didn't get sick. Huh? That's the way that's supposed to work. And so in the middle of this, verse 16, he says, but Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. I'll bet he did. With all that stuff, people chasing you all the time, gathering, trying to get, I need this, but this, my Aunt Lucy is sick. You got it, you know, Uncle Billy's sick. Yeah. All these things, constantly, wherever he's going, them coming to him or him going to them. And then, this is my mantra, so I'm trying to get into the rest of this. This is verse 16 in Luke 5. Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. And one day, he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there. Isn't that who you want? Pharisees and teachers of the law, there to try to catch him in saying something wrong, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And then this wonderful phrase, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Luke 5:17. And for many, many years, most every time, if I get asked to speak somewhere, if I do a conference, or we do it here praying for people, it's Luke 5:17 to me. Now, there are, the Bible says there are gifts of healing, 1 Corinthians 12. So can you be gifted for healing? Yes. In fact, it says there are gifts of healing, so different kinds. We don't even know all the kinds there are, different gifts of healing. But, and I said this to the Lord one day, and he said, bingo, use it. He said, the power of the Lord was present for healing. And I said, Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. You never change. If the power of God could be present on the earth in Luke 5:17, it can be present right here and right now. And that's where my confidence is in. Not in me. Now, do I go for it? I try to. Have I been accused of having gifts of healing? Yes. But I'm telling you what, the power of the Lord present before healing. All my money is on that. Bob Mumford used to say, God bless him. He's still with us, by the way. But talking about trusting Jesus, he said, take all my money, put it on number 7, pick up the dice and go, Jesus! Isn't that great? I'm sorry you don't, but I really like that. Because it all is depending on him. It's about him. And so if I didn't set it up right, that's my fault, but I'm telling you. And here's enemies all around him. Pharisees, people that didn't like him, coming from Jerusalem and Judea, all these different places, they're going to catch him, they're going to find something wrong with him, and they're going to have him killed. And then he gets to preach. I've been under some pressure sometimes, I don't know if I've ever had that. But he said, oh, power of the Lord, present to perform healing. Wow. He didn't say, and the power even was on Jesus. He says, the power is present. That was the power on Jesus? Are you kidding? Yes. But it was measurable. You could tell power, presence, something's happening. That's how we're going to pray today. Our confidence is in the Word of God. Our confidence is in the presence of God. Our confidence is in the love of God. Because He loves all those things. He loves us. And He wants us to do. He doesn't want us to sell Him short. And I would rather be immature in what I'm doing tend to say, well, I've had friends, I've prayed for friends, pastor friends before, that who were in other kinds of churches that wouldn't be as open to things I've been saying. That was kind. Anyway, they said, well, what if I pray for somebody and they don't get healed? And I said, do it again. Well, won't I be like a false prophet or something? I said, no, you'll be like somebody that really loves him and really loves them. He says, well, what would your people fire you if you prayed and they didn't get healed? And I said, oh my God, by about 5,000 times now, probably. I said, no, because it's not about us. But he said, go heal the sick. That's what he said. Well, here we are. And that's our attempt to do that. So all we're trying to do is obey. Now, it's a little scary, you know. I've had people a couple times send for me, and I got there, and this one particular guy was almost green in color. You look bad. And I don't know what I was doing. I was in youth ministry, and I didn't know anything, less than I know now. And I walked up on the porch, and the lady of the house, and I had never met these people, and opened the door, she says, thank God the man of God is here. And I turned around, and there wasn't anybody behind me. I didn't know what I was going to do. And we'd gotten this call. He's dying. You got to come here. Oh. And so I did. And I was having a horrible day. And then then that happened. And guy was in a corner sitting in a rocking chair covered with blankets, you know, had this greenish look on his face. And I said, I used my leadership trick. You can use this if you want to. It'd be embarrassing, so you don't want to. But I'd never had that happen before. So I just said what I always say. I said, you know, here's what I always do in a situation like this. And then I did something. Because it's the only time I'd ever done it. And so once I did it, I was absolutely telling the truth. This is what I always do. Man, that works like a charm. Anyway. And I just started telling him about how I met the Lord. And telling the truth, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and these things happened and took place. And one blanket came off, another blanket came off. After about 2.5 hours, we were both sitting there. This is before they had cookies and cream, but the His wife had, he was feeling so much better, had made us ice cream and crumbled up Oreos in it. I thought, this is amazing. Somebody ought to, and they did. And they came the next, that was on a Friday night, came back on Sunday, got saved, got baptized. Yeah. Now, I didn't know anything. And I was only, I think I was the only guy they knew, because they weren't part of the church. Their children, their daughters were in my youth group, but they lived in a little town 8 or 9 miles away. So I didn't know who they were. But the Lord will do that. He so wants to touch people. That was like, if they'd lived in Jesus' day, she'd have put him, tied him up in those blankets and put him on a donkey and took him to Peter's house. You know what I'm saying? Now, I didn't, I had no more idea. I mean, my idea of healing him was probably putting a Band-Aid on him. You know, I didn't know. I just want you to know, nobody has to be an expert to obey the Lord. And we're believing in him. So he did this with enemies present, he did with friends present, he did in Peter's house, he did with family, Peter's mother-in-law, he did with people that he'd never met before and perhaps would never see again. He did it with oodles and gobs of people, and he did it with individual people. He did it upending the status quo, because she got leprosy and he touched her. And now he's well, she's well, and he's not sick. Because they were taught, you'll get it. You can't do that. You're unclean. You got to go get ceremonially cleansed and all this kind of stuff. This guy just got well. Wow. Changed his life story. Forever. Imagine, I'm a grandfather now. That doesn't mean I'm good, it just means I'm older. You know, your kids are like average kids, and then they have kids. Oh, these are grandkids. Yeah. I thought my kids were pretty terrific, and now grandkids are awesome too. But this whole concept that we have, 1996, I had an encounter with the Lord. And he's very specific with me. He said, I'm going to do some stuff about healing. Healing for the sake of evangelism. I want to do it with you. But I want you to have a ministry of healing, not the healing ministry that you've been aware of. And I said, in my, so no three-ring circus, right? That's what I said. Because there have been some things that were fairly out there. You know what? If people are getting healed all over the place and people want to blame us for being out there, come on! I'd rather be, come on, for that than, well, we're not sure that's the right thing to do. No, it's, if you really love people, and God does, then you're going to, one of the ways you're going to love on people is heal them spirit, soul, and body. Is that right? So, Luke chapter 5. This is what I heard, what the Lord turned my attention to. Is any among you suffering? He must pray. Anyone cheerful? He's supposed to praise. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain and earth produced its fruit. My brothers, if any among you strays from the truth and somebody turns him back, then the one who turns that sinner from error in his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Call for the elders of the church. Anoint with oil. What does the oil do? It brings you into obedience to what the Bible verse says. And that day, oil was used for medicinal purposes. Not so much in our day. But Somebody said, well, do you think you have to use oil? I had somebody ask me, how come you don't use oil? I said, can I be honest with you? People kept spilling it on the carpet. And I said, the oil I'm looking for is the Spirit of God. And I'm not saying it. It says it right here. Use it. You'll be doing the right thing. But it's the prayer of faith that heals the sick, not the oil. Okay? But I read that first thing I did. I said, I bounced it off the elders. What do you guys think? And Josh was wise enough to say, I said, I'm going to go buy everybody a deal of oil. He said, better do it quick. Got to get it from Amazon. So that's what we're going to do. So guys, you want to come up here, please, and bring your oil. So if you wonder, if you get prayed for, what that smell is, it's frankincense and myrrh. And if I prayed for you, it's cinnamon. Why? Because I like cinnamon. That's my favorite. Here they come. Now, I'm going to pray for just a second, then we're going to ask you to come and be prayed for. If you just want to sit there and be prayed for, that's up to you. Verse says, do this. So that's what we're going to do. And then if we have a whole bunch of people come, we have some people that are going to help us pray. Are we better than they are? No. But elders are what's mentioned in the passage of Scripture. So all we're trying to do is do what it says. So if I'm going to make a mistake, let's make a mistake obeying the Word. Okay? Holy Spirit, would you come? Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for, as the song said, nobody else but you. Lord, we pray the reality of what happened with Jesus when he was surrounded there by people who needed to be prayed for and people who were against him. And it says that the power of the Lord was present to perform healing. Lord, would you come and show yourself in that way? As Paul said to the Corinthians, this isn't just about words. The kingdom exists in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So we open ourselves to you, Lord. Lord, it's our desire to bring honor to your name, glory to your name, and healing to people, spirit, soul, and body. We want to make Jesus famous in Kansas City. So we offer ourselves to you today. So Lord, will you just touch each heart saying, hey, this would be a good day for you to go up there. We just want to do what you're doing, say what you're saying, because we want to see the result of your saying and doing. So we place ourselves in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.